This episode is brought to you by the Marine Corps Association and Modern Day Marine. Exciting news, Scuttlebutt fans! Modern Day Marine, co-hosted by the Marine Corps Association and the Marine Corps League, is set to take place at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center from April 30th to May 2nd. Dive into the latest innovations, hear from senior leaders across the Department of Defense, and connect with fellow Marines and defense industry partners. Registration is now open. Visit MarineMilitaryExpos.com for more details. That's MarineMilitaryExpos.com. Don't miss this opportunity to engage in the emerging Marine Corps advancements.
Hello, Scuttlebutt listeners. My name is William, and today we're doing another installment of World of Wargaming, today with the Director of Wargaming at the Krulak Center, Colonel Tim Barrick. Tim, how are you today?
Good, William. Thanks for having me over.
Awesome. Well, so the big news coming around the block is that we have Modern Day Marine coming up, and I hear that we have some pretty cool stuff in with the Wargaming convention going on there. So you know what? Why not, why hide behind the curtain? Let's go. Let's talk about it. What do you have going on this year?
Yeah, so first off, objective one going at Modern Day Marine is our wargaming event. Last year was the first time that the Marine Corps had integrated a wargaming event in with Modern Day Marine. We are doing it again this year, essentially repeating a lot of the same stuff we did last year with showcasing both a combination of digital games and tabletop games, government ones, and also the commercial industry ones that we utilize. We've got a number of outside organizations that are coming in also to showcase some of their games. Center for Naval Analysis being one of the primary ones there, coming in and showcasing some of those capabilities. And we've got guys from Leavenworth on the Army coming in to showcase land power game. We've also got guys from National Defense University coming in, and we got folks coming down from Canada and from the European Center for Hybrid Threats are coming in as well. So we've got, you know, these different organizations. The intent here is to showcase a number of games that are out there that are being used for different professional purposes, and to give this, at this venue, give them the opportunity to put those on the table. So some of these are ones that we don't necessarily use or are not aware of, but it's an opportunity that we can exchange, perspectives on different games and the tools that folks are using. Obviously, we're going to showcase some of our games, both digital and tabletop. We've got the Wargaming Cloud that has continued to improve and enhance some of those game capabilities. We have some new games that we're going to be showcasing that are part of that cloud at Modern Day Marine. And then the big development this year is we're running a legit tournament at Modern Day Marine on the convention floor that we're calling the Commandant's Cup. So this is a tactical warfighting tournament. We're going to have three events, and we're running a qualifier round right now. And you have to compete in the qualifier in order to be in this tournament. That way we've got players that know how to play, they know what they're doing, they know the scoring, they know the game mechanics, and they can come in and essentially compete, participate in this event, and compete, and also use this as an opportunity to showcase and demonstrate that, you know, how war games can be used to stimulate learning and reps and decision making. So we're excited about it. It's going to be the first time doing it, and the clock is ticking. It's coming fast, but we're on a pathway to get there.
Awesome. So who are some of the new additions coming in? Give us a little sneak peek of like who are some of the developers that are coming in this year specifically?
So the two game companies that we work with most right now are Slytherin Matrix Games and then also Hex War Code Wizards. Interestingly, they're both UK-based, and they're coming in and going to be demonstrating from a digital game standpoint some of their capabilities. One of those games that is going to get showcased is a game called Littoral Commander. This is one that Sebastian Bay has published here recently, and we're digitizing that game, and we're going to have the prototype ready to go at Modern Day Marine. So it's still in development, so it's still in development status, but it's going to be sufficiently along that we can do a demonstration with it at Modern Day Marine. So that's one piece of it. Along with that is an after-action tool capability that's going to be part of our Wargaming Cloud, particularly the Hexhorror suite of games, where it's going to showcase our ability with these games now to allow players to, before they start their match, to basically layer in a plan, right? To put on essentially an operations overlay using lines, circles, squares, using some text boxes, be able to sketch out a course of action, right? And capture that as a layer in the game. And then at the after action, it pulls up the standard kind of after action report that you would expect or would want to have coming out of a game in terms of losses and what happened each turn. And then be able to layer in your plan that you had at the start of the game, right? And showcase, okay, well, here's what happened. And then you can layer in, here's what you were planning to do. And then that can spark a discussion about, you know, well, how did it go, right? So I think this feature is what is essential to taking what is an entertainment-based game, perhaps, you know, where people, typically what happens when you play a game, and I'm guilty of doing this, quite often you will jump right in and just start playing, right? You're not developing a theory of victory, or you're just going to figure it out as you play the game, right? That's what quite often happens when you're playing games. What we're hoping to do with this tool is create the forcing function to requiring players to actually plan, right? From a professional development standpoint, that's what we want them doing, is thinking about, hey, what is your theory of victory? How do you, you know, what is your objective? What are you trying to achieve? And how do you think you're going to go about doing that? And we'll now have a mechanism to capture that. We're going to showcase that. We don't have that in our cloud yet. That is going to get run next month, and we're going to have the first prototype, step one, operational next month. And the timing with Modern Day Marine is perfect. So these are two key things. There's other things we're working on as well from Slither Matrix Games. Flashpoint Campaigns Pro is a great game. It's tactical level. Really, the sweet spot is battalion-level operations. It does go down to company. You can elevate it to regiment, brigade. But by and large, it's a battalion-level ops is a sweet spot. What we've been working with them on, and I don't think it's going to be there yet for Modern Day Marine, is an amphibious operations capability so that you can basically have off-map ships with embarked forces that you can design your ship-to-shore maneuver plan and then execute it in the game. The game really focuses on ground operations, but we're going to allow that essentially off-map maneuver coming from the ship, right? This is something that will get delivered this summer. We're not really going to be in a position at Modern Day Marine to showcase that, but that is a key piece that we're going to showcase there. And of course, the flagship of Slither Matrix Games is Command Professional Edition, you know, some modern naval air warfare simulation. We will have that there as well. As part of Commandant's Cup, the Flashpoint Campaigns game is going to be a key feature in that, showcasing it, and I'll talk more about that in a bit.
All right, so the Commandant's Cup, who are the contestants?
So great question. So we put out there invitations to our Top Tactics Invitational. Our timeline was tight. I would have loved to have gotten a broader sweep across the Marine Corps, would have really loved to get some operating force units from the FMF competing. We were on a very fast timeline, and marketing wise, we're gonna want to improve next year to get the word out better, so we get more organizations competing. But we have six organizations right now that are competing in our qualifier tournament, which we're calling the Top Tactics 24 Invitational. Those six organizations are the Basic School. We got Expeditionary Warfare School, Advanced Infantry Training Battalion East. We got the Marine Corps Tactics and Operations Group. We got Naval Postgraduate School, and we have a Marine Corps University / Command Staff College team. So we have six organizations, and we're structured for the Commandant's Cup to be able to take six organizations with four people from each. So our max capacity is going to be 24 competitors at Modern Day Marine at the Commandant's Cup. Right now, we started with 40 competitors in Top Tactics from across these six organizations. Some of the organizations had more players competing. And we're in the process of trying to filter that down to identify who's the best from a tactic standpoint in playing these games. Top Tactics is an individual competition, but we have a team organization framework around it. But essentially, you know, like some of these organizations, they don't know who, if they got 10 people competing, they don't necessarily know who their top four would be to represent them. So part of the purpose of this qualifier is to help enable those units to identify who's who's doing the best and who may be their best chance at success at Commandant's Cup. You know, we talked about opening up Commandant's Cup to be in the drive-by tournament, right? Like, hey, you're at Modern Day Marine, you can compete. The challenge with that is generally they're not going to know the game, they're going to be brand new, and it doesn't represent someone who's really competed and fought through a series of events to get that first place, you know, designation as, hey, I won the Commandant's Cup. If we're calling it that, it shouldn't be something that you can just like come in and just do a throwdown, right? And
so what I'm hearing is I don't have a chance this year.
No, you don't have a chance this year. We also made it uniform only competitors. So we're trying to get and Marines for this Commandant's Cup. So the Top Tactics Tournament, actually, we opened that invitational up to Allies Partners Joint. We didn't get that many that signed on for it, even though some of our other competitions, we've had a bunch of allies plug in to those and from the joint services. But this one, we only had a handful, Army, and we have a UK major who's fighting in the tournament and who does well. And we opened that one up. But for the Commandant's Cup, we specifically narrowed it down and said, look, this is going to be a Marine-only tournament on the floor at Modern Day Marine, and it'll be a team format with organizations represented, with six organizations. And I'm glad that with the Top Tactics Invitational and the qualifier, we did get six organizations. So they're all going to send, hopefully, somebody, you know, a team to represent them at the event. It's really a question now of who are they sending? Because some of them are going to have to narrow down their
So what have the qualifying rounds so far been like? Are they primarily just like neutral, equal force on force, equal quality troops, or is there an imbalance? Are they based off historical scenarios? What have they been like so far?
So we've done one event so far, which was a 2-round tournament for our Company Commander Modern game. So this is company level tactics, and in the tournament format, we do what's called a paired match. So if you and I drew each other, right, you would play, let's just say it's, you know, U.S. versus Chinese forces, right? We would have two matches going. One where you're U.S. and I'm China, and then the other where you're China and I'm the U.S. So we're playing both sides. What that allows us to do in a tournament management standpoint is they can be imbalanced, right? It's a matter of how badly do you lose, right? And you got to lose less badly than your opponent if the scenario is imbalanced. And occasionally we see players that will end up dominating both matches, right? And then it's pretty clear who the winner is. But the paired match methodology gives us, from a tournament management standpoint, a lot of freedom. And it also allows us to create more interesting scenarios where we're not going for the perfectly balanced scenario per se. We could leverage just about any scenario, put it in a paired match framework, and then just see who emerges from both of those games with the better score. So it's a good differentiator. Plus, it gives us one more game to put score against to contribute to an overall score.
And is the format of the battles you're fighting, are they primarily meeting engagements where one unit comes to the other, one side from one side of the map, one side from the other, and then they have room to maneuver, and then or are they more like predetermined, like, you know, this team's holding this ridge, this team's coming up from this direction, they have to fight, they're probably going to do so around here?
We've got multiple formats in these scenarios. You know, we've got one where you're holding ground as the Americans, and then the opposing side is trying to fight through and get off the map on the other side, right? And okay. you get points for getting, you know, units off the map on the far side, and you get points for the destruction of enemy units, and there's objectives on the map. So the interesting thing about that scenario is you end up needing to make a choice between, are you going to go grab the objectives, almost like a capture the flag kind of thing? You got like six objectives on the map. You get points for holding those. So are you going to make your bid for success, grabbing the ground and trying to seize those objectives? Or do you just want to like bypass objectives and just get all your force, bum rush, and try to get through to the other side and get off the map on the other side? So you get points both ways, but you've got to balance, you know, your bid for success of how are you going to approach this? Because you get points for both methodologies. And so you got to kind of do a little calculation to see which way you want to go. We've got another scenario that's a defense one where it's a very clear, you know, the opponent's attacking. And then we have meeting engagement type scenarios as well. So that all goes into the scenario design discussion in terms of trying to create interesting scenarios that we know people would be interested in and want to play and create a challenging tactical dilemma. And we're certainly wanting to expand our portfolio of scenarios, but that's a flavor of some of the ones that we've got.
Awesome. So give us a little overview of how the tournament's going to function in Modern Day Marine. Is it going to be publicly viewable? And how many games will they be playing?
Yeah, so what we decided to do for the Commandant's Cup is we have three distinct events. Event one is the company tactics game. That's the company Commander Modern that Hex War Code Wizards make. And we are targeting a Marine unit versus Russia unit kind of scenario in that. In this one, particularly the Russians are attacking, the Marines are defending. And we will be playing that one as a standalone event. And this is going to be a round robin. So we're going to have some teams, like we'll do team versus team. They may be competing individually, but bottom line is it's like we're going to have almost like a three-ring circus where with six teams, two will be over here competing in event one, two will simultaneously be competing in event two, and then two will simultaneously be competing in event three. And then when we finish that round, they all rotate and go to a different event. And they'll do a counter rotation, right? So you'll end up competing against a different team in a different event. So each of these is going to be about a 3 to 4 hour evolution. And so that's going to take us basically a day and a half, right? So afternoon, morning, afternoon, over a day and a half, each of those teams will end up competing in the three different events. So event one is the company commander, modern game, very tactical level. Event two is battalion level tactics, and this is going to be using Flashpoint campaigns. Now, a key difference in how we're going to implement this at Modern Day Marine, I'm pretty excited about this, it'll be fun to see, is rather than doing the 1v1 kind of match pairing like we've been doing so far, this is going to be a staff versus a staff. So basically one computer operator on each side, and the four players on each side will collaborate and decide what to do as like a battalion staff, right? And then the operator will then apply those orders. So it's going to be one game. Well, it's going to be a paired match because it'll still be a paired match, but one operator and you have a team of four deciding what to do. So that's going to slow them down.
That's going to get pretty messy too. Yes. I like that.
Yes, it is going to be messy. I fully expect that. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to showcase this. You know, you talk about, is it publicly viewable? I see this as center ring. Right. This is the arena where we're literally going to set up an arena-like format where we've got a big screen in each of those game cells where you got the four players with like an 80-inch screen. And so you can stand behind them. If you're one of the observers, you know, the public coming through, you'll see these four guys with a helmet fire going on, right, with the big screen showing their situation on the map. And you're just going to be able to watch them go through their decision process, input their move, hit submit, and watch that kind of play out on the screen. So it is going to be publicly viewable.
So this is going to be epic is what I'm hearing. This is going to be...
We're trying to put a spotlight on this, yes. That is exactly the intent that we're going for here. We're really grateful to Microsoft for sponsoring this portion of it, and we're calling this kind of technology center aspect of this the Classroom of the Future showcase. So the Classroom of the Future showcase is going to be, you know, modeling this wargaming arena. But then simultaneously, Microsoft is going to come in with some other industry partners to showcase other technologies that are going to be unrelated to the war game. So what we wanted to do is create some physical separation between the two game cells so they can't hear each other. So we've created this center area between our two battalion staff arenas where we're going to have other technologies being showcased so people will be able to pass through in the middle, and it gives us that nice buffer space. So we've got the two game cells going head-to-head are going to be kind of on opposite ends of this, right? And we're going to have other events going in between. So we create this physical separation so they can't hear each other making decisions. But we're going to be showcasing Classroom of the Future technologies in the center of that. And then on the sides of this arena are these two game cells competing head-to-head with the big screen and having those conversations that are publicly viewable by everybody. So, yeah, absolutely see that as kind of almost a Friday Night Lights kind of event where they're in a fishbowl, frankly, and going to be watched by everybody that walks by, right? And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm very interested to see how this plays. I'm excited about it. We've never done something like this before, and it should be an interesting event. And hopefully all the technology cooperates with us, and it's able to go smoothly. So that's event two. One more event. So event three is a mystery tabletop game. And
okay, it's old school.
I have not revealed that to any. There's like three people that know what that game is, and I won't be revealing it today. So what we wanted to do was have a tabletop. So digital gaming is great, right? I mean, I'm all about computer games, but there is something about tabletop games that from a human standpoint and the dynamic of interacting with an opponent over a map. I mean, think about like a chess tournament.
I mean, face to face.
That's right. You're face to face. You're making those chess move-like decisions, and
it really adds that, almost like that poker element to it.
Where that's right.
You can kind of see if by how they present themselves, if your plan's working or not.
That's right. And I think what this does by having these three events and having them be distinctly different, right? What I would distinguish the first two is really it's two different game systems, and it's company tactics and battalion tactics, right? Now we're adding this third event, which is now tabletop format, and that frankly requires a little bit of different cognitive skill set in mastering how to play the game and the decisions that you make. So we're really going to test the players, right? I mean, some people may be very uncomfortable. They may be very comfortable in the computer format and very uncomfortable in this. But we figured, hey, this is Commandant's Cup. You got to earn it, right? And go through this competition and this series of events. And, you know, if you succeed in, you know, beating your opponents across all three of these events, then you deserve to win, right? So we're going to have this mystery tabletop game that none of the players will have seen before. And they will have to orient on the game, learn how to play it, and then fight it out. And it'll be 1v1 kind of matches. And then we'll take the scores from that. We'll combine the scores from all these events. And then we're going to take the top two teams and do a championship round. So that'll be a sudden death, you know, kind of championship experience. So all of the first three events are really just feeding to who gets to play in the championship.
Yeah, and what is the championship game?
So the championship game, we're going to jump back to the Flashpoint Campaigns arena, you know, that staff versus staff, you know, decision-making. So that is kind of that arena spotlight, you know, should be a good public spectacle to watch. And so that's what we're aiming for as our championship round.
Awesome. So what time specifically during the day will these games be going so that our guests that are at Modern Day Marine can come by and watch?
Yeah, so the first day, the morning is simply going to be orientation. And this is, we're talking 30 April through 2nd of May, right? Those are the dates in Washington, D.C. at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. So the morning's going to be orientation for the players, just get them set, oriented, so they see the lay of the land and what's going to happen. And also helps us just get administratively organized. The afternoon on the first day, kicking off about 1,300, going to about 1,600. Maybe if they start running long, up to 1,700. But that's going to be the timeline on that first round, right? And then the next day, we'll kick off About 9 to noon is going to be that second round on the what would that be? That's the first, and then the afternoon we'll do it again, another 3 hour time slot in the afternoon, and then that gives us on the 30th and on the first. That's when we complete the first three rounds of it, which will then determine who competes in the championship. Will be the morning of the second is going to be the championship round, and then we'll do award presentation after that, close it out.
Awesome. So how steep is the competition this year?
What is the competition?
How steep is it? How is it going to be pretty competitive? Are there any front runners?
I think it's going to be very competitive. So right now, Expeditionary Warfare School is in front in the Top Tactics tournament. Now, what's important to note is Top Tactics qualifier tournament, the points don't matter, right? I mean, it does matter in terms of that specific tournament, but that's a standalone tournament. When they show up at Modern Day Marine for the Commandant's Cup, it's a zero score, right? So they could end up in sixth place in the Top Tactics tournament and end up in first place going through Commandant's Cup if they apply themselves and master the tactics. So, but that said, I'd say there are some early indicators right now. I'd say Expeditionary Warfare School is certainly a competitive set of players. Now, they have a little bit of an advantage in that a lot of those guys have been competing in our Wargaming Cloud already in some of the tournaments and that we run at other times of the year. And so I think they've got a little bit more familiarity with the games and with our Wargaming Cloud capability. But they're out in front right now. I would say close second is right now. I think we're pretty close neck and neck with Advanced Infantry Training Battalion and their team, which I think will be very competitive. And actually, the Naval Postgraduate School is doing very well. They've got some guys competing in this that are holding their own. I did not expect them to be as well placed as they are. We've only had the first two rounds of Top Tactics, and so we're only about halfway through this tournament. And so I would say it's still anybody's game, but we've got a really good sprinkling of some stellar wargamers in there. And some of them are competing individually. So because Top Tactics is an individual tournament, we got an Army major who has been competing in almost every tournament we've done. He's doing very well, and we got a UK major that's been competing in almost everything we offer, right? So this Army major and UK major are competing as independents, right?
The age-old rivalry.
That I would not be a bit surprised to see them both finish in the top five. So we'll see. It's anybody's game, but yes, there are certain players that I've observed that are certainly in it to win it.
Awesome. Well, to our audience, if you attend Modern Day Marine, please check out the Commandant's Cup. It's going to be some pretty epic competition. So moving on to other discussions, since we last spoke, how has the Crewlock Center been? Has there been any innovations with the Wargaming Cloud? What's the progress on that front?
Yeah, so this has been a good pilot year for us, and we're still experimenting with this cloud capability, and our learning curve has been pretty steep. So, you know, the intent with this Wargaming Cloud is to provide a means for faculty and students to leverage and integrate digital war games into the classroom and outside of the classroom. So, you know, one of the use cases is being able to assign a game as homework, like if you're studying, you know, the Napoleonic Wars and you're talking about, you know, theory and nature of war, and you're using a Napoleonic War scenario, that if we have a game scenario, you're doing some kind of case study, you could, in theory, assign that game as homework. They go play it and then come back into the classroom and you talk about it, right? So what we're allowing or enabling with this Wargaming Cloud is to take Wargaming outside the classroom and they could take it home as homework. We've never had that before, right? You couldn't assign a war game as a homework project to students. Now we can. And, you know, it's going to be up to the schools to figure out exactly how to leverage that in the future and creatively integrate it. And I've tried to deliver a portfolio of scenarios that create the opportunity to dive into history. And more importantly, I would say, is some of the contemporary scenarios. So our biggest move forward this year has been an investment in trying to get more game tools in the cloud that are contemporary warfighting at all levels. So that Company Commander Modern game does that at the tactical level. Littoral Commander, when we get that delivered here, that is going to give us a really, it's intended at that Marine Littoral Regiment level of play with integrating joint force capabilities. So it really takes you to a littoral combat group kind of level of capability. We've got a game called NATO Division Commander that we're digitizing that's going to give us a, you know, division to core ground-focused warfighting capability that'll be contemporary environment. We have a Suwalki Gap scenario in the Baltics Poland region that is going to be our first scenario in the pipeline for that game system. And then we have Third World War coming, which is going to be theater level. This is also European theater. And then another one that is actually government developed, which is based on our operational war game system, called the Digital Course of Action Tool. This was a project funded by INDOPACOM that Naval Information Warfare Center Pacific actually did the development work on. It's at the prototype stage. We just ran a great game with it last week, and we're hoping to have that in the cloud by the end of the summer. And that allows us to war game at the Joint Task Force level, contemporary environment to 2030 environment, even beyond. And so that's really, I would say, the focus has been expanding our portfolio of games that we have available. We've been improving our process and procedure in terms of just maintaining the cloud. I mean, our learning curve has been steep. Just the SOPs to like keep the games current, right? When the commercial company runs a patch, to then go in and go, okay, hey, we need to run a patch in the cloud and get that updated, right? Just simple processes like that we've had to learn. User access management, all those kinds of things that come with the territory of running a wargaming cloud for an enterprise, right? It's been challenging, and it's been a good pilot phase for us to figure those things out. I know that we're going to start ramping up, and so the foundation that we're building from a process and procedure now is really important. And as the use of this starts to expand, we get up there. One more thing. So one of our top projects this year has been an after-action tool capability. And I mentioned this earlier, where you get the ability as a player to program your plan in advance and then get that after-action report. And we're going to embed that across this Hex War suite of games so that the players go in and we have the after-action tools that go with it. That's going to be super powerful. So excited about that and the opportunities that's going to present in the future. So
yeah, that's awesome. I just actually recorded an episode recently about how to conduct an after-action review for wargaming. So that's perfect. I'm glad to see that's being more professionally implemented. So glad to hear.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year, and I think next year we're going to start seeing a lot of this start to really come together in fruition. And I'm hoping that next year assuming this Commandant's Cup goes well, we can run this again, and I think next year will be even better postured to make a better event.
Well, great to hear. Well, Tim, since we've had you on before, we've already asked you the question, what's your favorite war game? So I'll throw another curveball question to you at the very end of this interview is, what innovation of wargaming have you witnessed in the past year that you've liked and would like to see replicated?
Wow, tough question. I think what I would have to say is the tools related to the after-action process. I think from an educational wargaming, from an analytical wargaming, how you are gaining information on the back end of the game and being able to review that and see what happened, that's powerful. And I think what we're going to see with the AI capabilities coming up, and we're already seeing it with some games, most computer games are creating a log of here's what happened. Right. But that log can be pretty long, and trying to read through, just if you're skimming it as a human, just trying to go through there and, you know, you see, hey, this die roll against this unit and this was the result, and you're getting hundreds of those, right? And even thousands of those interactions and adjudications. It's really hard to then go back and say, okay, summarize what happened, right? But what we're seeing with large language model AIs is the ability to take a scenario log and then synthesize that and spit it back to you and say, here's what happened, right? I think that this is going to be super powerful across all the gaming industry, both in the commercial sector and the government sector, to be able to better capture, here's what happened in the scenario, here's what unfolded, especially when you have a scenario where you got lots of different things going on, lots of entities in the game, and then you want to look back and go, okay, what happened here? And from a scoring, I'll put my tournament manager hat on, right? From a scoring standpoint, keeping track of all that is important so that you can contribute to, you know, your getting credit for which forces you killed and then keeping your forces alive. I think that's a huge piece of the tactical decision making is how much risk you're accepting or going to accept in terms of losses to your force as you execute your mission. So all these after action tool capabilities, and as we get to large language model AI to be able to synthesize this and spit it back to us, is going to help people make better decisions as they better understand, you know, that second, third order effect when they make the decisions, they play the game, they see how it plays out, and then they're getting that feedback report on the back end that summarizes it for them. That's going to help them better understand, okay, here's what happened and here's how it played out. And then they can go back and look at their decision and make a better judgment on, hey, was that a good call or was it not, right? And they may be able to better see where their plan went awry or where it really succeeded, right? What were those decisive points in the unfolding of the scenario that really contributed to the outcome? And I think if we have better tools that help us see that, then it really helps you then go back and reflect on the scenario and take a look at it and see what happened. And that's where the learning is going to occur.
All right, well, Tim, well, thank you for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. And to our audience, go to Modern Day Marine. It's going to be awesome. We have tons of stuff this year. Scuttlebutt will be there. And definitely check out the Commandant's Cup. We'd love to see you. All right, have a good one.
All right, thanks, William.
We would like to thank the Marine Corps Association and Modern Day Marine for sponsoring this episode. Attention, Scuttlebutt listeners. Prepare for an incredible experience at the Modern Day Marine Expo, happening April 30th to May 2nd at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. Dive deep into military advancements and networking. Plus, the Objective One Wargaming Convention is back for its second year. Expect nothing short of awesomeness, so bring your A-game. Don't miss out. Secure your spot now. Also, Nancy, William, and I will be on site recording episodes live from the showroom floor. Come by and say hi. Visit MarineMilitaryExpos.com for more details and to register. That's MarineMilitaryExpos.com. Hope to see you there. Scuttlebutt is a production of the Marine Corps Association. You have heard the voices or contributions from Major Dick Rubel, USMC retired, Nancy Lynchman, and or William Treating, and Colonel Tim Barrick, USMC retired. Ty Frazier is the editor, sound engineer, and technical producer. The Marine Corps Association is not an agency of the U.S. government. The opinions expressed in this episode are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the official position of the United States Marine Corps, the Department of Defense, or the Marine Corps Association.